Morning. Today's daf is daf lamed test in Zvachim or Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're doing great. We are in the middle of the fourth parak, and the topic for today is going to be Dam Chatas. We are now totally engrossed on the topic, on the subject of Dam Chatas, the blood of the Karban Chatas. Chatas is one of the more unique karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. That's brought. We learned in the first parak that if a machshava shinui kodesh, if you when you offer up the karban chatas, you say that this is not a karban chatas. You say it's a shlamim. You say it's an ola. So you've disqualified it. So that we know already by a chatas that already is super sensitive to a machshava of shinui. Karban chatas has to be offered onto the mizbeach, and unlike all other karbanos, you have to go around the mizbech and you have to hit four corners of the mizbech with the blood. More accurately, more specifically, you take your finger and you put it into the blood and you actually do a dab, an application of to each one of the horns of the mizbech, the kronos of the mizbech. And you go around the mizbech and you apply to all four. Good? So this is our karban chatas that we talk about. Karban chatas is brought in response to somebody who violated one of the yisuri kares, one of the yisuri chatas, but that's what we're talking about. One of the Yisuri Kares, when we get to Masechta Krisos, we're going to learn the first Mishnah in Krisos, and it goes over there in that first Mishnah. There are 34 Yisurim in the Torah, 36 really in total, but 34 Lavin, 34 negative prohibitions in the Torah, where if you violate them, you must bring a Karban Chatzos. Karban Chatzos is an extraordinarily special type of carbon that's brought. In our tour of the fourth parak of Zvachim, so we did the first Mishnah, and the first Mishnah dealt with a very fundamental question on the blood applications of the Karban Chatas: how many of them are essential? Right? And it turns into a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says two, and Beis Hillel says one. How do they generate their position? So that's what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday was a day dedicated to drushas. We learned it. It's either based on the kri uksiv of the psukim, the Eliyesh Eim LaMistor, Yesh Eim LaMikra. It could be that. It could be based on another drasha of v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. The three times that it says v'chiper when talking about the karban chatas. Okay. And that's what we did yesterday, and that took us to today. And we are now on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and we're at the two dots. Tanya, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. B'yishamei omim shtei matanas shebechatas v'acha shebechol hazvachim. Matiros u'mefaglos. So what we're going to do now, it's just we're going to articulate, again, the positions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which will lead us to a question. There's a short little sugya coming up right now. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so Beis Shammai says that when it comes to Karban Chatas, so as we just pointed out, two are essential. You need four, but two are essential. Acha shebechol hazvachim, and when it comes to all other karbanos, one. Matiros umefaglos. Now, they're matir, again, because they're essential. So that means that's now what permits me to eat the karban. Me, of course, is not me. Me meaning the kohen, right? This is a karban chatas. Karban chatas is on the status of kachet kachim. Can only be eaten by kohanim. Umifaglos, and it's mifagel. Meaning, because these are essential avodas, pigel can occur during these two. Now, there's a really important Rashi over here. Umifaglos. Rashi writes, umefaglos im nitan shteim. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara, just two lines below. Im nitan shteim b'machshavas pigol, ava achas b'shtika v'achas machshava lo pigol she'im mefagel mechatzi matir. According to Beit Shammai, two is essential and two is necessary. Meaning that according to Beit Shammai, in order to achieve pigol, which is not where you want to be, pigol is a machshava of chutzazmano. In order to achieve pigol, you have to have the machshava for pigol for both of the matanas, for both of the applications of the blood. Why? Because according to Beit Shammai, the two are essential and the two are necessary. They're one unit. Right. If I only have a machshavas pigol for one of the two, that's chatzi matir. And as a rule, we've been pretty consistent since the beginning of the perek, ein mefaglim b'chatzi matir. Pigol cannot happen with half of a matir. According to Beit Shammai, two is required, one is half, one out of two. So therefore, if you only have a machshavas pigol during one of the two, you do not achieve pigol. Pigol is not obtained. Okay, so that's the opinion of Beit Shammai. Next.
You cannot have chassi machshava if you only have one, right? That's impossible.
Right. Right. Okay, so Beitzil Amim Machash Bechatas Vachat. I'm sorry. Again, Beishamer Amshem Matash Bechat Vachash Bechal Zvachim Matirus Mafagus Beitzil Amim. And according to Beis Hillel, one is your magic number. One is your magic number for everything. For karbanos in general, and specifically for the karban chatas. Okay. So now we have, according to Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel, a basic machlokas vis-a-vis how many of the matanos of the karban chatas are essential. According to Beis Hillel 2, and according to Beis Hillel 1. Now, so far, so good. In fact, it sounds pretty similar to what we've learned earlier. However, being presented this way, Maskefla Ravoshia, Ravoshia says, I'm going to ask the following question. Im kein lesnaya gabi kula beit shammai v'chumre beit hillel. You know what now? It's a kula for beit shammai. Now you have to think about this, really think about this. It's a kula for beit shammai, and I don't understand why it's not included with the kulas of beit shammai. First and foremost, you should know in general, Beis Hillel is usually the Mekel. Beis Hillel is usually lenient, Beis Shammai is usually Machmir, and you'll be happy to know that we usually follow Beis Hillel. Meaning that's, you know, that's where we land on the normative halachic front. So, good. That's in general. There are, with every general rule, there are always exceptions. There are exceptions, and there are times where Beis Hillel is Machmir. But there's so few, and there's so few exceptions, that what the Mishnah in Adios does, is the Mishnah in Adios says, let me give you all the times that Beis Hillel is Machmir. And so the Mishnah does that, and it gives us all the times that Beis Hillel is Machmir. And there's so few and far in between. Okay. And so now, given the information that we were just given, I think, this is Rav Oshia's question, this Mishnah should be included in Adios. Okay, now you have to think about this, because it's strange, right? It's, what do you mean Beit Shammai is being Mekel? No, he's not. He's being Machmir. Right. In other words, how many sprinklings do you have to do in order to achieve Kapara? So Beit Hillel says one, and Beit Shammai says two. So if you think about it, you're wondering to yourself, what's the question?
Well, one half is the Machmir, one half.
Huh? So the correct answer, I mean, Rashi tells us, the correct answer is, in the world of Pigol, Beit Shammai is a Mekel. Right? Because, according to, let's say, you had a Machshavas Pigol for one of the Matanos. One, just one. So according to Beis Hillel, that's it. It's Pigol. According to Beit Shammai, no it's not. Because according to Beit Shammai, two are essential. And if you only had a machshava for one of the two, that's only chatzi matir. A mefaglum chatzi matir. Oh, so it is somewhat of a kula. But you understand, though, it's not... Yes, it's a kula, but it's a totsa'a, it's a result. It's not the actual din. The real din itself, the main din itself, is that Beit Shammai says you need two, and Beis Hillel says you need one. On the fundamental din, Beis Hillel really is a meiko. But if you look at the totsa'ah, if you look at the result, so then yeah, Beis Hillel is in fact going to be a machmir.
You can also say by Beis Hillel, when you say one, it has to be the first one, not the second one.
Okay. Right. Okay, it could, right. So Amalei Rava. So Rava basically says exactly that point. Ki itcho lehetera itcho, da'avlu Beit Shammai lechomro. Look, everything is a question of perspective and where we're coming from. Meaning, when the question was first posed, the question was... how many do you need to be matir? Mm-hmm. I'm a Kohen, I want to know. When do I get to eat the karban chatas? So Beis Shammai says, well, you need two applications. Beis Hillel says, no, one's enough. So now, if you're starting there, so who's the Mekel? So it's obvious, Beis Hillel's the Mekel. So in other words, where you're asking from, you're right. As a result of their two positions later on down the road, it could come out that there would be a kula vis-a-vis Beis Shammai because of chatzi matir. That's true, but don't go there. In other words, start from the very beginning, start from before the carbon was being offered, and ask the simple question, when can I eat the meat? So Beit Shammai says you need two, Beis Hillel says one, Beis Hillel is a mekel. That's why this Mishnah is not an adios. Moving along. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Matanos Shebechatos. So here we go now. The rest of today's daf is dedicated to this discussion. We have now well established, it's all dam chatas today. Okay, get ready. Get ready for a day full of dam chatas. We have now well established, and we're only going to focus from this point forward on Beis Hillel. It's the accepted viewpoint. Right? Beis Shammai, Beis Makom, Beis Hillel, Eino Mishnah. Right? No disrespect to Beit Shammai, it's just that's not the accepted normative approach. So from this point forward, we're going to now look at our applications of the Dam Chatzos, and we're going to break it up. The first one is essential, and the next three are a mitzvah. You have to do them, but they're not essential. Meaning, if I need a kapara, I'm the one who brought the carbon chatas. If I need a kapara, so that one sprinkling, done. I can go home at that point in time. Or if you want to be morbid, I can die at that point in time. Now, I know I don't need to be that morbid, but the Gemara is going to be that morbid in just a moment. So, okay, so I'll bring it up now. Right? I can die at that point in time. In other words, I've got my kapara. All right. Right, that's the first sprinkling. From Tanos 2, 3, and 4, they're not essential. It's a mitzvah, but they're not essential. Okay, let's go from the Kohen standpoint. It's going to be the same point. Let's go from the Kohen standpoint. Right? Can the Kohen eat the meat of a carbon chatas? Again, same thing. After the first application, sure. The next three that have to come are part of the process, part of the mitzvah, but the Kohen is allowed to eat the meat of the carbon chatas after the first application. Okay. So what we're going to be discussing now for the rest of today's daf is like this. To what degree do these next three applications, after the first one, have the status of dam chatas? Right? There are a lot of halachas that maybe you never even heard of, which we're going to learn today. There are a lot of halachas regarding the dam chatas. To what status do these next three sprinklings, 2, 3, and 4, on the remaining three corners of the mizbeach, have the din of dam? So let's see. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shalosh matanos shebechatos einon baos balayla. So we'll say like this: you can't bring them at night. We know that once nighttime comes, all blood becomes disqualified. Any blood that's not been applied to the mizbeach becomes disqualified. Done. Blood is only good, right? It's got a shelf life, and its shelf life is very short, only the day that the animal was shechted. So once nighttime comes, it's no good. I can't apply the blood of 2, 3, and 4 after night. Even if I applied one during the day. Now you can make an argument, you can say, what's the big deal? It's not essential. I did the kapara, let me just finish it up. No, you can't. On the other hand, you really have to think about this. It's amazing. On the other hand, let's say after the first application, the owner of the animal dies. Now, we know that when it comes to a carbon chatas, if the owner died before the animal was offered, or even after the animal was slaughtered, and the owner died, the chatas is no longer necessary. The person achieved his kapara through his own death. You don't need a carbon chatas anymore. And because this is a carbon chatas and I cannot reassign it, redesignate it, I have to let it graze. And no, chatas mesa, right? You have to kill it. You have to kill the animal. There's nothing you can do with the animal, unfortunately, but there's nothing you can do with it.
How do you kill it?
You put it in a barn, feed it barley, let it die. Okay?
Fine.
We accomplished one sprinkling.
What happens to the animal allowed to eat this one?
I would assume.
Oh.
I would assume. I'm not 100% sure, but I would assume. Okay, it's a fair question. Uvaos la'achar misa, and these next three you could bring after the person died. So again, think about it, because really it does require a lot of thought and a lot of conceptualization. That even though the person died, but he achieved the main kapara with that first sprinkling, and then you're just going to do the rest of the process because the rest of the process is not essential, even though there's no owner to do it for. And here we get to also another interesting point. We know that if you take a carbon and you offer the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're chayav. That's called shchut echutz. Right? Offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash is punishable by kares. What if I take the blood, the non-essential bloods, meaning the one after one, 2, 3, and 4, and I sprinkle it outside and I go to some outer mizbeach, I'm going to be chayav. Okay. So, despite the fact that it's not essential, it still has some status of dam kachim. Okay, fine. I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, look, If I'd like to right now, I'm going to organize all this information into basically two categories. Yesh mehem ketchilato v'yesh mehem ketsofo. In certain areas of halacha, we're going to treat it like it's fresh out of the animal's neck. It's ketchilato. In certain areas of halacha, we're going to treat it like it's over. Right? Game over. So in other words, basically what we're going to do is we're going to take all of our halachas of dam, specifically dam chatas, and we're going to divide it into two categories. And I'm going to tell you that in some halachas, we're going to treat this blood like tchila, and in certain halachas, we're going to treat it like self. Okay, and let's go. Chutz, Laila, Zarus, Klishares, Karen, Etzba, Kibbutz, Vishira, and Ketchilasa. Vis-a-vis the halachas of, number one, chutz. I can't take the blood outside. If I take the blood outside, the blood becomes disqualified. Two, Laila. Once nighttime comes, the blood is disqualified. It can't apply to the Mizbeach. Three, Zarus. If a non-Kohen were to offer this blood, he would be Chayav Misa. Four, Klishares. It has to go, this blood has to go into a Klishares. Five, Karen. The blood has to be applied to the horns of the Mizbeach. What am I up to?
Six.
Etzba. You have to do it with your finger. Right, the application of the dam chatas has to be done with your finger. Seven, kibbutz. This is an interesting halacha. Parshat Tzav.
Washing.
The Torah tells us that if blood of the karban chatas, we're going to spend a lot of time on this. So let's get familiar with it early.
Excuse me, the klishares, is it already the klishares?
Right, but in other words, right.
Transfers it to another one?
Maybe, or if let's say it leaves the klishares.
Oh, that's it, extra blood maybe then? Which is still down on that
thing? No, I mean, essentially it's talking about the klishares.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the blood is there already.
You're right. No, agreed. In other words, but let's say it spills out of the klisharis. I can't take it off the floor. And
okay.
Let's just for a moment, let's get familiar with this idea of kibbutz. Right? Laundering. Parshat Tzav. Perek Vav. End of Perek Vav. Last parsha in Perek Vav. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Mor Daber El Aaron Ve'Albanav Le'Mor Zos Toras HaChatas Ve'Imkom Asher Tishachet Ha'Ola Tishachet HaChatas. Right? This pasuk Yud Ches. Same place where you shech the carbon oil, you shech the carbon chatas, meaning north. Lefnei Hashem Kodesh Kadashim, here, and it's the status of Kodesh Kadashim. HaKohen Mechatei Osa Yochalenu, the Kohen who is Mechatei, he does the procedure, he gets to eat it. B'malkum Kodesh Teyachal Yathid B'malkum Kodesh, as we've been saying since day one, your chatas has to be eaten inside the Azara. B'chaser Ol Moed. Kol Asher Yigabiv Sara Yigdash, anything that touches the meat becomes holy. Rashi explains on the Pasuk, and it's going to be clear as we get the Gemara later on, in the Masechta, that means that anything gets cooked up with the meat of the Karban Chatas. Karban Chatas the meat of the Karban Chatas has to be eaten that day. The Kohanim have one day and one night to eat the Karban Chatas, that's it. Right, it's not a Shlamim. So they're only given one day and one night. If anything gets cooked with the Karban Chatas, so let's say the Kohanim sit there and put together with their meat, they put, I don't know, they add it to... You know, they throw some potatoes in there. So the potatoes are going to have the same din. Potatoes have to be eaten that day and that night. The asher yizeh midama al habeged, asher yizeh aleha, techabeis b'makom kadosh. If blood of the carbon chatas gets on your clothing, if it spritzes on your clothing, techabeis b'makom kadosh, you have an obligation to launder your clothing. But not just launder your clothing, B'makom kadosh. You have to wash your clothing in the Azara. Okay? So another thing they had in the Azara is like a mini laundromat. In the Azara, to get out all the dam chatas. Dam chatas cannot leave in the clothing. Okay? Dam chatas has to remain in there. Good. This is a din. This is what's called din kibbutz, the obligation for washing. This is only... Where's the laundromat? I don't mean like... there's no like real laundromat.
Yeah,
it's just...
Like
where do they wash it? I don't know. I don't know what part of these are they actually wash it. But there's a din kibbutz. Now, as we're going to learn throughout today's daf, this is going to be a main point of today's daf. In this din of kibbutz, it's not any blood of the Karban Chatas, but specifically blood that's earmarked and designated to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Meaning, if it's already been sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and somebody comes along, or let's say you fall and you fall into a little bit of blood that's already been sprinkled on the Mizbeach, there's no din kibbutz. There's no special din kibbutz where it has to be washed in the Azara. Meaning you'll go outside and at a later point in time you'll have the clothing washed. But this special din kibbutz that's mentioned in the Torah, that it has to be washed in the Azara, is only on blood that's going to be sprinkled. So now good. So now that you have that in mind, now think about it. Because after the first application, the next three are not essential. So now what essentially the Gemara is talking about is what status in terms of kibbutz does this have? Does it have the din kibbutz after it's been sprinkled? Or does it have a din kibbutz of it's not yet sprinkled? Right? It's a great question. Because they're non-essential matanos. So that's exactly what Rav Papa is saying. Rav Papa is saying is that even though they're not essential, it's kitchilasa. It's like you have not yet sprinkled it. And finally, number eight, vishirayim. And as far as the halachas or shirayim are concerned, kitchilasan. What does that mean? Shirayim, Rashi gives the example, where let's say you collect the blood in four separate cups, for whatever reason, you don't need to, but you collect the blood from the neck of the animal in four separate cups, and what you do, the Kohen goes around, and from each cup he does an application. Now you'll say to me, after the first application, the next three are non-essential, doesn't matter. Each cup now has a din of shirayim. Each cup needs to be poured onto the base of the Mizbech, onto the Yisrael Mizbech, like the blood of shirayim needs to be done. Okay? So in eight areas of halacha, these non-essential matanos, Nesina 2, 3, and 4, are treated like tchila, are treated like we are sprinkling for the very first time. V'yesh mehem kesofo. On the other hand, there are a number of halachas, says Rav Papa, where they are like sofo. It's like it's done already. It's like we're at the end of the story. Chutz, v'layla, sorry, no. Kishirayim. Kitzchilasam. So, okay. Misa. Sorry.
Misa.
Next. Misa. Our owner died. I mean, Rav Yochanan said this already, but Rav Papa is being more more detailed. If the owner died already, so you have the death of the owner between sprinklings number one and two, so the Kohanim look at one another, right? Again, it's morbid, I understand. But the Kohanim look at one another and you go ahead with it anyway. Right, and I'll make the same point we made regarding Rav Yochanan. You could have made the argument, he died already, what's the point? Right, but the point is that the first sprinkling was done, he already achieved his kapara, and now you're just going to finish the process and you're going to do the mitzvah. So these next sprinklings that are done are going to be treated like sofa, meaning they're not essential and therefore you do it. Lo shaya v'lo mefagla. It's not a matir and consequently it's not a mefagel. Now the truth of the matter is we don't need Rav Papa for this. We have our Mishnah. Meaning this is exactly why we're here anyway. Our Mishnah taught us that because the first one is essential and everyone after that is not essential, so therefore every Nisin after that is not Mefagel. Good. V'lo aile ligavai. Okay, and the last one is like this. We know that the blood of Adam Chatas, if brought into the Heichal, disqualifies the Karban Chatas. Okay? Rashi quotes the pasuk. Rashi doesn't quote the pasuk I'm looking for. But anyway, we know that if you bring the blood of a karban chatas into the heichal, it disqualifies the karban chatas. Obviously, we're talking about the chatas hachitzonius. Okay. However, if the blood is brought in after the first application is done, it doesn't disqualify the Karban Chatas. Okay? So in that regard, we're going to treat this blood like sofo, not like tchilaso. Alright. Good. So we have now a series of halachas. Eight halachas where we're going to treat it like tchila. Three halachas we're going to treat it like sofo. I'm Rav Papa Benamin Allah Didnan. And Rav Papa says, look, I'm going to show you a Mishnah. And the Mishnah is coming up much later on in the Masechta. But if you read the Mishnah carefully, you will see that I'm absolutely correct. That these bloods are going to be treated in certain areas like Tchil and certain areas like Sof. Nitas Menetzavar Al Abeged. This Mishnah over here is talking about the halacha of kibbutz.
Right.
The Mishnah says that if you have it spritzed from the neck of the animal onto your clothing, ain't a ton kibbutz, it doesn't require kibbutz. Why? Because if it goes directly from the neck onto your clothing, so it's not roila hazah. It's not, you can't sprinkle it. This halacha of kibbutz, of laundering the blood out of your clothing, specifically in the yazara, is only for anything which potentially could have been sprinkled onto the mizbeach. If it goes directly from the neck of the animal to your clothing, didn't heed a klisharis first. We know, we learned this already, that in order for blood to go onto the mizbeach, it has to go from the neck into the klisharis. And that's it. And it can't make any other contact with anything else during the interim. If it does so, it's simply disqualified. And in our world of kibbutz, in our mission of kibbutz, that means it doesn't require the special halach of kibbutz. Mina keren mina yesod ein ton kibbutz. What if it goes from the keren, from the corner of the mizbeach, and hits your clothing? Also doesn't require kibbutz. Right? Because it's already been applied. And once it's already been applied, it's done. We're gonna hit this drasha again and again. The Gemara is about to quote it. The pasuk says, "I'm gonna read the pasuk again." Kol asher yigab b'fsara yikdash ve'asher yizeh midama. And anything which will be sprinkled onto the mizbeach yichabes. Yizeh midama ala beged asher yizeh alaha techabes b'makom kadosh. Anything which will be sprinkled has the din of kibbutz. Meaning, if it's already been sprinkled, there's no din kibbutz. So mina keren or mina yesod ain't on kibbutz. Okay, ha mina roila keren ta'on kibbutz. Now, it's clear once you read that mishnah and read it carefully. So there's a couple of simple diukim that we can make from that mishnah. If it's fit for the corner of the mizbeach, meaning you haven't sprinkled it yet, it requires kibbutz. Now ula tamech, but now that you're there, look at that last part of the mishnah. Look carefully at that last part of the Mishnah. It says, "Min haroi lekeren ton kibbutz." Sorry, min hakeren u'min hayesod. Meaning, the way we understood the Mishnah, if it goes off the corner onto your bag, it doesn't require kibbutz. If it goes off the yesod onto your bag, it doesn't require kibbutz. Now think this through. If it's on the yesod, if it's on the foundation, where are we in the life of this blood right now? Where are we in the story of this blood? So if it's on the foundation, that means I already did the application to the corners, and I'm pouring it now onto the foundation. So the Gemara says, "Ula tamech mina yesod ein ton kibbutz, ha mina roili yesod ton kibbutz," which means that if only after it hits the foundation and then hits my clothing, there's a special din of kibbutz. Meaning that before it hits the foundation, so then I would require the special din of kibbutz.
Because it's coming out of the cliche.
But the Gemara says, I don't understand. Asher yizak siv prat lezeshe kvar huzah. So the Gemara says, but I'm not following the logic over here. Because if we're pouring it on the yesod, that means I did already all four applications. That's what it means. But meanwhile, the Mishnah says, only after it hits the foundation and it hits my beged do I no longer have to launder my clothing. Before that point in time, I have to launder my clothing. But didn't I already sprinkle it onto all four corners of the mizbeach? So the Gemara then proceeds to make its case. Hamani Rebbe Nechemya. Oh, so it must be, right, the Gemara is connecting a lot of dots together. It must be that Mishnah that we just quoted, the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel, it must be going, that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemya. Did not Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Shayari Hadan Sheikrivan Bechutz Chayav. Rabbi Nechemya is of the opinion that leftover blood, meaning after the applications, after you hit all four corners, Shayari Hadam, where you now go outside the Beis HaMikdash and offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be Chayav even though it's just Shayari Hadam. So the Gemara says, what do you see? That according to Rabbi Nechemya, once we're dealing with essential blood, that blood is going to require this special din of kibbutz. That blood, if I offered it outside, I'm going to be chayev. This is please follow, because it's really complex. And what Rav Papa's argument is now over here is that it so you must therefore say that when it's essential avodas, when it's essential blood, when it's blood where if you take it outside you're going to be chayvan on mala b'chutz, so that has a special din of kibbutz. If it's non-essential blood, there's no din, there's no special din of kibbutz. And what essentially now the Gemara is saying is, wait a second, Rav Papa, you didn't say that. You said, if you go back to Rav Papa's list, you said that the matanos of 2, 3, and 4, which are non-essential, which are not that critical, are still have a din of kibbutz. Okay. So, using the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel and applying a thought process that Mishnah on Sadi Gimel is going like Reb Nechemia, the Gemara is now pointing its finger back at Rav Papa and saying to Rav Papa, I don't get it. I don't fully understand. You're telling me that non-essential blood still requires kibbutz, and it's clear over here that he does. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Ema deshamat le Reb Nechemia le'in halah, mi de dehave avarim upadarim, le'in kibbutz mi shamat le'in. So the Gemara says, wow, you made a leap. You made a big jump. Look, I understand that Reb Nechemia is of the opinion, we haven't been introduced to Reb Nechemia yet in the Masechta, but fine, we're just going to work with it. I get it. Reb Nechemia is of the opinion that you take blood that's already been sprinkled on the Mizbech, and you offer that blood, the remaining blood outside, so you're going to be Chayav Amala B'chut. But so what? That may not impact at all the din of kibbutz. Look, it's no different than Avarim and Pedarim. Right, limbs of an animal. What do you want to tell me? Limbs of an animal are essential? They're not essential. You already shechted the animal. You already collected the blood. You already sprinkled on the mizbech. The limbs are not essential. But if I take a limb and I bring it outside and I offer it on the mizbech outside, I'm chayav on maleya b'chutz. So the same thing is true with the blood. I did all the sprinklings of the blood, and I take the blood out, the remaining blood, and I take it outside. Same thing. So fine. Leave that out of the whole discussion. We're not talking about the Isser of Maleo Bechutz, of Shchut Echutz. We're talking about the Din of Kibbutz. It could very well be that Rev Nechemia does not argue on the point of Kibbutz. Misham Elayin in V'atanya. The Gemara says, but let's examine the following. Damim HaTu'unim Yisod Tu'unim Kibbutz. Any blood that requires Yisod requires Kibbutz. U'machshava Mo'elas Bahen. And a thought is going to be moel, meaning you can have a machshava pigol during these bloods. And if you bring the blood outside and offer this blood outside, you're going to be chayav on shchut echutz. The dam hamishpachim la'ama, however, blood that are poured down the canal, meaning any leftover blood after the application, after the shirayim, meaning let's say the remaining blood in the neck of the animal. So that blood, that's not blood at all. Ain't tarni kibbutz, there's no din of kibbutz, ain't machshava malas b'hem, and certainly there's no machshava to be had by them. And if you offer that blood outside, you're going to be pater. So let's start off with the following. First of all, who's the author of this braisa? It's got to be Reb Nechemia. Because Reb Nechemia, as we already learned, tells us that even the shirayim of the blood, of the dam chatas, if you take that blood and offer it outside, you're going to be chayv. So I already know that this braisa is going like Reb Nechemia. Vikamar. Now go back to that braisa, go back to the first line, the top of the daf. Vikamar tarn kibbutz. And read it clearly, because he says it very clearly, that there's a din of kibbutz. Omach chava malas b'hem. I'm sorry. V'taon kibbutz, and there's a requirement of kibbutz. So you wanted to distinguish and you wanted to differentiate. Well, maybe you're ma'ala b'chut, but there's no din kibbutz. It's not true. You see over here that they are tied one with another. Once the blood has the status of blood to make you liable for offering it outside, it equally has the status where if I get on my clothing, I have to wash the clothing in the azara. The Gemara says, but wait a second. I'm totally confused. One of the things that's said in the Braisa is that machshava ma'alas b'hem, that you can have a machshavas pigol. V'atanya, yasu shirayim v'ataras yimorim shein ma'akven es ha-kapara, shein machshavas ma'alas b'hem. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? You can have a machshavas pigol. We know you don't have a machshavas pigol. So ki tanya hi b'shosh matan shebechatos. So the Gemara says, we could be talking about the three applications the three remaining applications of the chatas. So so the Gemara says, "Yahachi teunim yisod," right? The top case, the top mishnah, the top mishnah. We're talking about the three remaining applications. So ihachi teunim yisod lekeren hazleh. So the Gemara says, so what are you saying? Right, the brisa says, "Dame ma teunim yisod." What do you mean yisod? We're not talking about the base. We're talking about the corners. Lekeren hazleh, ema nit anim yisod. So the Gemara says, well, yisod means that they're going to go to the yisod eventually, but right now they're going to go, before the yisod, we got to hit the second, third, and fourth corner of the Mizbeach. But the Gemara again says, that's also not an acceptable pshat. We know that after the first application, the next three are not essential. V'lo ayla l'gavai, kisofan. So the Gemara says, okay, finally the Gemara says, look, okay, I got you. The Braisa is a difficult Braisa. We're looking at the top Braisa on the page. We're trying to figure out what bloods are we talking about, right? Damim hatu'unim yisod, bloods that require the foundation. And if we're talking about the applications around the corners of the Mizbeach, we've already established that applications 2 through 4 are not essential. There's no machshava. Machshava is not going to passel them. So what are we talking about? So finally the Gemara concedes, and the Gemara says, okay, I'm conceding. That Braisa is not talking about a chatas that's done on the outside. That Braisa is talking about the special chatas that are brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Heichal. They are, it's a short list, Yom Kippur, Par Helam Davar, Par Kohen Gadol, and the Seir of Avodah Zarah, when the community is Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's it. So in other words, we're talking about those chatos, and as we mentioned before, we'll say it again right now, on the inner chatos, all four corners are necessary. So, because all four corners are necessary, that's good. Now that you know that that's what we're talking about, then the Braisa makes perfect sense. Meaning, there's a Din Kibbutz, Machshavas Moel Baham, if you take any of those buds and you offer it outside, you're going to be Chayev, good. Ava B'damim Mechitron and my Pater. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're going to differentiate in the Braisa, right? The whole point of the Braisa is to differentiate. Right, it's say in this case you're chayv, in that case you're pater. So now it's time to differentiate. So ad detani damim manishpachem la'ama. So why did the brisa move to a case where you see over here they're all essential, as opposed to the blood being poured down the canal? That's not essential. You can make a better differentiation, a sharper, crisper differentiation. If in the first part of the brisa we're talking about bloods that are going on the inner chat, on the inner mizbeach, right? That's markedly different than the blood's going on the animal's back. So the Gemara says, so why don't we make that differentiation? Well, the Gemara says, well, it's technical, but I'll tell you why. Hamani Rabbi Nechemyahi, because as we've already established, the price is going like Rabbi Nechemy, Damishar Yare, Dam Shikri Mukhut Chayev. Vulo Masni Le Tlate Pature Labahade Tlate Chiyuve. It's a really technical point. But look, the Braisa was hitting four different halachas. Rabbi Nechemya would in fact agree that there would be a difference, but not regarding all four halachas. Only regarding three of the four halachas. Because remember, Rabbi Nechemya says that when it comes to the blood of the chatas hachitzona, even bloods 2, 3, and 4, applications 2, 3, and 4, if you bring it outside, you're going to be chayv for those bloods as well. So Rabbi Nechemya would not be able to make a distinction on all four halachas mentioned in the Braisa, and that's why we can't distinguish between the inner mizbech and the outer mizbech. Okay. Admittedly, that was a mouthful. Admittedly. Again, let's make sure that we're on course in terms of the basic points of the daf today. The Gemara today is highlighting the differences between sprinkling number 1 and sprinklings 2, 3, and 4. The Gemara says that when it comes to sprinkling number 1, that's essential. Sprinklings 2, 3, and 4 are non-essential. However, vis-a-vis a number of halachas, 8 halachas as Rav Papa, we know that there we treat those bloods like tchila, like it's like they're real matanas, like the real sprinklings. On 3 halachas, he says they're like sofa. They're like it's like done already. Okay, and we went through all of them. One of the halachas that Rav Papa was referring to was his din of kibbutz, the special din of kibbutz, where Rav Papa says that for applications 2, 3, and 4. If before I apply, it gets on my clothing, I have the special din that I have to launder the clothing inside the azara. It has a special din of kibbutz. And Rav Papa says, and how do I know that? So Rav Papa says, well, look at a Mishnah. The Gemara turns to a Mishnah that we saw in Sadi Gimel. And the Gemara had a tough time with that Mishnah. Let's take a look one more time before we go on in the Gemara at the Mishnah again. The Mishnah is back on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Did not. We learned in the Mishnah. Nitaz min etzavar al habeged. If the blood goes from the neck to your clothing, einotam kibbutz, doesn't require kibbutz. Min hakeren umin hayesod, if it goes either from the horn or from the foundation, einotam kibbutz, it doesn't require kibbutz. Okay. Right? That's the Mishnah. And we were so perplexed by that Mishnah because look, if it goes from the karnos to your clothing, it's done already. The pasuk says, asher yizeh, not a sher huzah. But the part of the Mishnah that didn't make any sense is that next part of the Mishnah, umine yisod. Right? If it goes from the foundation to your clothing, which implied in that is that before it hit the foundation, oh, that requires a din kibbutz. What do you mean? Before the foundation, you've already sprinkled it. So it's done already. So, aravina amar, min akeren mamish, min hayisod, min haroi liyisod. So Ravina says, let's go back to that Mishnah. I'm going to offer now a simple pshat in that Mishnah, which really will help us out. When it says min akeren, it meaning the actual corner. Meaning it hit the corner and then bounced off and hit your clothing. You're fine. You're totally fine. There's no din of kibbutz. Why? Because the pasuk says asher yizeh. Asher yizeh means that which you will sprinkle on the mizbeach, not which was that which was already sprinkled on the mizbeach. That's what the first part of the Mishnah means. And then when it says a yisod, it doesn't mean it bounced off the yisod and hit your clothing. That's not what it meant. It means min haro'uli yisod. Anything which is destined to go to the yisod, the base. But it didn't actually hit the base yet. Meaning, you're still holding the cup in your hand, you already spritzed on one corner, and you're ready now to spritz on corners numbers 2, 3, and 4. That's what min ha-yisod means. Min ha-yisod means min ha-roi li-yisod. Okay, now, amalei rav tachlifa, bar gazel ravina, eme idi v'idi raihu. So, that's inconsistent, right? It's hard to do that. Generally speaking, Amoraim did not like doing that. Giving one pshat in the Mishnah one way and another pshat in the Mishnah another way. Meaning, if we're going to define points in the Mishnah, we love to be consistent, and it's difficult to be inconsistent. So you want to tell me, Karen, literally, bounced off the corner, hit my tunic. Yisod means royally yisod, but that's inconsistent. How can you do that? So, in defense, Haimai, the Gemara says like this, Hashta royally Karen amart lo royally yisod mi baye. So, I'm stuck. Meaning, what do you want me to say? You want me to say that both of them mean roi? It can't be. Roi le karen amart. Lo. Roi le sod me baye. If something which is fit for the karen doesn't require kibbutz, something which is fit for the yisod me baye, then it needs to make that point. In other words, I can't say both of them are roi. Okay. And I also can't say that both of them are literally bouncing off the karen and bouncing off the yisod. That also doesn't work. So I'm just stuck. I don't have another pshat to offer, so I'm offering the pshat. Bouncing off the karen, hitting my clothing, doesn't require kibbutz. Yisod means fit for the yisod. Okay. Ela min a karen mamish min yisod min a rai yisod. Period. Okay, good. All right. So that takes us to the first part of today's daf. So again, applications 2, 3, and 4 of the dam chatas, in most respects, is still treated like matanas of a dam chatas. In some respects, it's like we're done already. Okay, and that goes back to Rav Papa, the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel, which gave us really a terrible, gave the Gemara terrible fits in terms of how to fit that Mishnah into the halacha of Rav Papa. The Gemara made one approach in terms of how to deal with that Mishnah, and then Ravina just gave a very simple way to understand that Mishnah, so that Mishnah does not impact Rav Papa whatsoever. In fact, not only not impacts Rav Papa, really complements Rav Papa, because essentially now what the Mishnah is saying is that once it hits the horn, that's it, it's done, but any of the other bloods that you plan on going around the Mizbeach and applying, that still has the status of Dam Chatas. That still is in the category of Asher Yizer, and therefore if it's your clothing, you have the special din of Kippus. Next. Kol Nitan Na Mizbeach HaPanimi, Tana Rabbanan. Let's, I know it's funny, but let's just finish up the daf. Put us in the right place where we need to be. The Chatas is mentioned both in Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav. In Parshas Vayikra, we have different types of carbon chatas. When we went through Masechta Horios not that long ago, we discussed basically three different types of carbon chatas. Carbon chatas of the Kohen Gadol, when he sins. Carbon chatas of Par Helam Davar, when the community sins, because Basin came out with a erroneous ruling. And the carbon chatas of a nasi, and finally the carbon chatas of the individuals. Okay, various different types of carbon chatas. For the par helam davar and the par kohen gadol, the Torah tells us that those are special carbon chatas. The blood of those carbon chatas need to be brought into the heichal. Okay, and this is just it's a special, it's a unique circumstance where the Torah basically says, take it, go into here. Take the blood, you're shucking it over here, take the blood, collect in a bowl, go into the heichal and sprinkle. Sprinkle seven times towards the paroches, towards the curtain, sprinkle the four corners of the mizbeach, the rest of the blood is shayarim, you walk outside, you pour it onto the yisod, onto the foundation of the mizbeach right over here, and then as far as the animal is concerned, the animal is burnt. Right? Nobody consumes that animal.
When you sprinkle it on near the sacrifice, where does it fall? On the floor or on the
No, is it whole?
There are
canal. What is it?
Huh? Canal. No. The actual sprinkling on the parochas.
When the price.
No, I think it lands in front of the parochas. Right? Remember, we talked yesterday about how the first one is done up. But that's Yom Kippur. Okay. Fine. Okay, so, Kol Hanitanim HaMizbeach HaPanimi Tana Rabbanan V'aseh Ka'asher Asah. Right? The Torah in both places says the Torah makes a self-reference to one another. Okay? When it comes to the par of the Kohen Gadol, that's the first one mentioned. So first you sprinkle it towards the paroches. Then you put four applications onto the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And then you pour the rest of it onto the foundation. I left out an important part. The imurim of the animal are actually placed onto the outer mizbeach, and then the rest of the animal is burnt. Okay? That's by the Kohen Gadol. Next parsha is the par helam davar. Right? And it goes through the same process. Seven spritzes towards the paroches. Same thing. And now what the Bryce here is focusing is like on the following. Pasuk Chaf, Perek Dal Pasuk Chaf. V'asa lapar, ka'asher asa lapar chatas, kein ya'ase lo, v'chiper aleim akon v'nislach lahem. The Torah says, just like what I told you to do for the previous chatas, that's what you're going to do for this chatas. It's a little bit strange because the Torah spelled it all out. The Torah told us, the Torah didn't just simply say, this chatas of par helam davar, same as the other one. The Torah spells it out, and then the Torah says, and everything I told you to do in the part of the Kohen Gadol, do for the parhelm davar. But we knew that already. The Torah told us already. That's essentially what bothers the Braisa.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see it inside. What's the Torah telling us? Essential. That all these avodas that we're talking about, they're essential. The seven sprinklings to the paroches, essential. How about the four to the corners of the mizbeach? Not only is it essential for the par of the Kohen Gadol, for the par Helam Davar, same thing is true for Yom Kippur as well. Kaasher asal par zepar Kohen Mashiach hachatas elu siirei avodas kochavim. This process that we just described, seven towards the parochas, four on the inner mizbeach, also is done for the siir of avodah zarah. I might have thought the same thing should be true regarding the goats of Rosh Chodesh and Yantav, which we know those are chatzis for the community. Lo meaning it, only these other communal chatas, no, don't have this process. And the Gemara says, and look, and why are we arbitrarily saying these, yes, but these meaning the goats of Rosh Chodesh and Yantav, no? And the Gemara says, because when it comes to Par Helam Davar, when it comes to the Par Kohen Gadol, when it comes to the Seir of Avodah Zarah, we know what people did wrong. We know what the community did wrong. So therefore, we're gonna lump them all together. When it comes to the goats of Rosh Chodesh, remember, we did this in Anhorios. We did this in Shavuos. First two Parakim of Shavuos. Those are for walking into the Beis HaMikdash Tameh and not knowing I did that. So in other words, those are for Chatos that are Eina Yiduos. So they're different. So I'm going to exclude those. Now, these karbanos work, par helam davar, kohen gadol, par kohen gadol. They work even if I don't do smicha, and even if I didn't pour shirayim down the base of the Arum Mizbeach. Omar ra'it lefso ba'azos l'hachshir b'smicha v'shirayim. So Omar poso ba'azos sh'ma'akvos b'chol makom, u'machshir ani b'smicha v'shirayim sh'ma'akvos b'chol makom. And the Gemara says, and that's easy also, because we know Hazah sprinkling is generally essential. Not all the time, meaning, yes, we've just been discussing how the sprinkling of 2, 3, and 4 for the outer carbon chatas is not essential, but in the world of Hazah is generally essential. Smicha, not essential. Pouring the shirayim down the yisod, not essential. So, if in the drushas we're going to say that you're going to still get a kapara even if you miss something, we're going to assume the thing you're missing are things that are not generally essential, like smicha and pouring the shirayim down the yisod. Okay, good. So that's the end of today's daf, unbelievably. And tomorrow we'll pick it up, continuing this discussion.